Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of United We Fall. I want you to listen carefully to the first dangerous dialogue, which took place roughly around 6,000 years ago. That is between the serpent, whom the scripture described to be the most cunning beast of the field, and how the devil used that serpent to carry on the dialogue with the first mother of all, Mother Eve. For in Genesis chapter 3, we read that the serpent said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" What a question. Did you notice how the serpent started this dialogue with Eve by simply asking a question? Did God really say you should not eat of every tree of the garden? So what do you expect Adam and Eve will be eating? They'll be eating nothing? They're going to just watch the fruit grow on the tree to fall on the ground and to go bad without eating it? So why did God make all these trees? And why did God allow all these trees to have fruit? You see, the deception of carrying dialogue with Mother Eve was simply asking a question, but not any question, but an exaggerated question. Listen to the answer of Mother Eve. "And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" What a smart woman. What a wise woman. Not only is she carrying on a dialogue with the serpent, but she's actually correcting the false information with the serpent, assuming that God said. God did not say, "We do not eat from any of the trees of the garden, but we eat from all the trees of the garden. For all the fruit of the trees of the garden is made for us to enjoy, except for that one tree in the midst of the garden. We don't eat it and we don't touch it." Did God really say that Adam and Eve should not touch that tree or not to eat from the fruit of that tree? So what happened here? If we want to examine the conversation, the dialogue between the serpent and Eve, we'll find out the serpent was very sneaky, asking the wrong question to get Eve excited to correct the information which the serpent stated in the dialogue by giving the exact words of God, but we will add a little bit to it. That is, we will not eat the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, and we will not touch it. But trust me, if you examine Genesis 1 and 2, from the beginning of the Holy Spirit writing to us the account of the creation, you will never see that God said to Eve or to Adam not to touch the tree, but simply not to eat from it. And here I believe the serpent got a little bit smart, a little bit comfortable to continue with the conversation with Eve. Why? Because now she knows that there is an open door, there's a green light that the conversation will continue. And perhaps the serpent will make Eve do exactly what she is not supposed to do. As we continue to read in verse 4, "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die.'" Wow. A minute ago, we did not know exactly what was the command of God, because the serpent asked Eve the wrong question. Did God say not to eat from all the trees of the garden? But now that same serpent who did not know what God said in the past, the serpent know for sure what will happen in the future. "You will not surely die." Why? Listen to verse 5. "As the serpent continued to talk to Mother Eve, for God knows that in the day you will eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. What a powerful statement. The devil not only knows the future, but knows what is in God's mind. The devil, through the serpent, knows exactly that God knows if Adam and Eve choose to eat from that tree in the midst of the garden, that is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they will be wise. They will be like God. Does this remind you of the fall of Satan himself? He wanted to be like God. That's why he chose not to worship God. He wanted to be like the Most High One. Therefore, God cast him out of heaven. But sadly, he did not leave heaven alone, but took one-third of the angels to be with him. And now the same devil, Satan, is using the serpent to cause Eve, our first mother, to sin against God by telling her, you need to eat from the tree, and God does not want you to eat from the tree, because God knows if you eat from the tree, you become like him. And that's why he is forbidding you from eating the tree. After all, the tree is called what? The tree of knowing good and evil. And if you eat it, you know good and evil. So what do we have in the end of this conversation? The serpent did not tell Eve, well, I just give you my advice. You do whatever you want. No, listen to the following verse. So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. Wow, what a great description for that tree which God does not want Adam and Eve to eat from. Does this description only apply to that one tree, or is this exactly the same description which we read for the rest of the trees which God put in the garden for Adam and Eve to eat and enjoy? We can read about that in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9. For there we read, and out of the garden the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Did you notice how the scripture describes these trees? They are trees pleasant to the sight and good for food. These are the same words which we read in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6 concerning the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why did Eve see that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was pleasing to the eyes? It was simply because there was deception which took place between the devil through the serpent and Mother Eve. And that is the whole entire point of why we should never have a dialogue with the devil, because the devil knows how to twist the information which we have to make it to be more or less than what we know, twisting the facts to make people doubt the truth of what they have or the falsehood which the Muslims have in their own beliefs or their own doctrines. And that is exactly what is going on all over the West as Muslims try to cause the people of the West, especially the Christians, to doubt the truth of the goodness which they have in the Holy Scripture. And at the same time, they lie about the falsehood which exists in their books, in their belief, by denying it, by assuring the people of the West that what they hear about Islam is not true at all. That is the problem with carrying on dialogue with our dear Muslim friends. Yes, they are here in America, and they tell us they believe in the Bible. They believe in the same God, the God of the Bible. They believe in the prophets of the Bible. They believe in the messages of the prophets of the Bible. But in reality, if we go through the scripture, we will see that all what they teach is not exactly what they believe. And when we compare all that which is written in our Holy Bible to that which is written in the Quran, we find out that the Quran contradicts the Bible and the truth is not there. And instead, we get smarter to learn about the falsehood of Islam, the falsehood of the teaching of the Quran, by debating the Muslims. That is, if obviously we know what we're talking about. No, Muslim represent Islam, the teaching of the Quran, to be the sweetest information which everybody in the West needs to know. And behold, instead of we hold to the truth which we have in our Bible and get to know God and His Word in a deeper relationship, to continue to love Him, to know Him, to serve Him, even among the Muslims who live among us. No, many of our people leave the truth of the Scripture, the Holy Bible, to believe in a lie, because they presume that all what the Muslims teach in America or they teach in the West about Islam is true. Once again, it is like this. The devil used the serpent to tell Eve about this one tree which they're not supposed to eat its fruit. It is the right tree for them to have. And the tree was pleasant to the eyes, and the fruit of the tree was delicious to be eaten. That is exactly what we have in the Holy Scripture. And instead of we hold on to the Word of God, no, we leave the Word of God, because after all, the devil, through the Muslims who live in the West, makes people believe that the Word of God is not perfect. And the truth of the Word of God, the Bible, has been changed. And the only truth we have right now is in the Quran. Even though, as you will see, in all these dialogues, in all these interfaith meetings, the Muslims will never quote the Quran, but they will simply talk about the Quran by telling us things that do not exist in the Quran. But if you doubt the truth of the Word of God, that is a victory step for you to accept whatever else Muslims will be sharing with you about the Quran, Muhammad, or Islam. And obviously, in the end of the dialogue between the serpent and Eve, we'll know that is in verses 6 and 7, that she, that is Mother Eve, took of the fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. This is the end of the wrong dialogue. That's why I call it a dangerous dialogue.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
God gave the command in the Scripture concerning the interfaith meetings, concerning the dialogue with the Muslims. And sadly, many of our preachers and the leaders of the church today, and those are conservative and liberals alike, do not realize what they're doing when they have dialogues with our Muslim friends. Because when they do so, not only do they disobey God's word, which I'm going to be reading to you in a minute, but they're causing two groups of people to be deceived. The Muslims who attend these meetings because they assume that Islam is true. After all, these great Christian leaders did not say anything wrong about the Quran. They did not say anything about Muhammad or Islam, because after all, it was not a debate. And once again, in any dialogue, people are nice, people are polite. They will not correct the other people. After all, you believe what you believe, and I believe what I believe. And it's not a debate, so we have to keep it in a low key. So we can continue to have the dialogue. Otherwise, we're going to turn it into a debate. And as Muslims always do in the West, they're not really interested in having a debate with anyone, especially people who know Islam very well. And if you don't know Islam, why are you going to debate the Muslims if you don't know exactly what they believe? As for the second danger of having dialogue with our Muslim friends, it is for the Christians, especially those who do not know Christianity in depth, those whom I call baby Christians or Christians by name only. When they attend such dialogue, they will leave these meetings believing that Islam is not as bad as they may have heard from some TV videos online or some speaker like myself in our ministry of the Straight Way of Grace ministry. And that's exactly what happened concerning this dialogue, which we're about to study together. As they took two surveys, one before the dialogue, and the other after the dialogue. I have no idea what the questions were in these two surveys, but all I know is that in the final survey, after this wonderful dialogue, 67% of the Christians who attended that dialogue left the meeting with a positive view of Muslims and Islam. And that is the greatest victory, the early fruit of the dangerous unity which Muslims would love to have with all the Christians of America, which Muslims can only have in such interface or dialogue meetings, which Muslims carry on all over America with many of those whom I call naive Christians or arrogant, ignorant Christians. And why do I call them ignorant Christians? Because have they known the scripture and the command of God throughout the pages of the Bible, beginning from Genesis, the first dialogue, which we read together in Genesis chapter 3, between the serpent and Eve, and also as the Holy Spirit wrote to us in the second letter of John, they would have known for sure that those who are so-called moderate Muslims in America are not moderate. But they are the new serpent which the devil, Allah, Satan, is using to bring the church to its knees in the end of time by causing many people to leave Christianity or even simply to allow Muslims to take over America to destroy the church from within. And if you ask any of these Christian believers who carry on dialogues with our Muslim neighbors or our Muslim friends, they will tell you we're doing that because we love them, because we want to share the truth with them. But now, my dear friends, let me read to you what is written in the second letter of John, beginning from verse 6. This is love. My dear friends, do you want to know what love is? It is that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandments that, as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Love is not to open our churches and meet with Muslims in public places and carry on dialogues with them, but love is to obey the commandments of God. Because if we love anyone more than we obey the commandments of God, that is loving God, then we do not love, but we do the opposite of love. And as we've seen in our study, this is what I will be proving to you. In verse 7 we read, "For many disbelievers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." Did you notice what the scripture said here? Anyone who does not believe that Jesus Christ, God Almighty, came in the flesh is an antichrist. And that is the work of the deceiver, the devil himself. The following verse, in verse 8, we read, "Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive full reward." This is the advice of the Apostle John to all the believers who will come after him. that the apostles will not lose all the hard work they put at the beginning of their ministry to the church. In verse 9 we read, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son." So before you carry on a dialogue with somebody, ask the question, do you believe in the Father? Do you believe in the Son? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Do you believe in the God of Christianity, the triune God? If they say no, then we have to understand that those are the Antichrist. As we read in verse 10, "If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine," what doctrine? The doctrine of the true God, the triune God of the Scripture, "do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds." Do you understand what the Apostle John is writing here? If a Muslim comes to us and he does not believe that Jesus is God Almighty who came in the flesh, if the Muslim does not believe in the Father and the Son, we do not bring them to our homes. We do not even greet them. Imagine with me, if a Muslim says hello or assalamu alaikum, then we don't greet him. We don't say, "and peace be upon you too." Why? Because if we do that, we will share his evil deeds, which means we will become like him, Antichrist. And by doing so, we are not loving the Muslim people because we simply disobey the commandments of God. And that is my biggest problem with the danger of dialogue with our Muslim friends. And to continue our study of United We Fall, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.